Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Great Debates. I am your moderator, Dan Medina, and I'm here with my friends Dave King and Steve Healy.
Hey, Dan.
Hello.
Oh.
Okay. Hello.
Hi.
Keep going. Plow
What's
through
wrong?
This.
Hello.
What's the problem? You and I talked at the same time.
So
it's unprofessional.
Who professional? We're giving out a
with
free
my
podcast.
Medina, rein us in. What's happening?
Okay, with my friends Dave King.
Hi.
And Steve Healy.
Hello.
Guys, we're back from a retreat in Palm Springs.
Oh, it was a great time.
So great. Probably 10% of Great Debates listeners were there.
At least. You think there's so many listeners. They're all our friends.
Great.
It was hey, shout out to a friend of the show, Matt Warburton. He got married this weekend. It was a beautiful wedding, and the guests were awesome. The families were awesome. We were all there. Thank you, Matt and Melissa. And have a great fucking life. I don't know. Yeah, it was awesome.
Congrats, guys. I want to bring y'all up to speed on some exciting news, which is that later this month in May, on the 28th, The Great Debates is going to perform its first live event, a podcast taping at the Comedy Central Theater here in Los Angeles. And if you're in town, we'd love to have you join us. You can write to us at greatdebates69@gmail.com and request tickets. They're free. Just let us know that you want to come.
Yes, write in, get some tickets. I know we sort of half announced an event earlier that we had to reschedule.
Yeah, but
some
now
people
it's happening.
Already have tickets to that.
To that event, it's great. If you got tickets, you still got them. May 28th, Comedy Central Theater. It's in Hollywood, basically, on Santa Monica. It's going to we might have a guest or two.
Oh, special guests. There's going
for
to be,
sure.
I guarantee
you're
you
confirming.
Some special guests. I confirm
wow.
special guests.
Wow.
Yep, who are darn. More famous than we are.
Oh, wow.
Super
okay.
exciting.
So anyone?
It's Thursday, May 28th, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
But now to lead us into today's micro, the
yeah.
Comedy Central Theater can hold roughly 100 people.
Okay.
Oh, well, then I've got a great idea for a micro debate, which is, Steve, why don't you take the pro on this? We've got a timer ready.
Yeah, hit it up.
The proposition up for debate in this micro debate... We can get 100 people to our live event.
Steve. Yes, I think we definitely can. I'm Steve Healy. I take the pro. And I think we can absolutely get 100 people to this event. Probably more. I think we're probably going to have to turn a few people away. We've had parties. The three of us have been involved in parties that have drawn 500 plus people. We have a lot of friends between the three of us. And a lot of people like us. Our listenership at this point is between 1,000 to 3,000 people. Per week, and I think a lot of those people are going to enjoy the experience of coming out live. I think people love to come out to live comedy. Kids come to LA to see entertainment, and they're going to come out to the Comedy Central Theater and see our show. It's going to be great. I would say get your tickets as soon as possible. They're free, but you do have to write to greatdebate69@gmail.com.
Okay, here's a few reasons why we won't get 100 people at our show. First of all, you said the actual capacity of the theater is around 100.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that you either don't know what the actual capacity is, in which case there's a good likelihood that it's actually under 100 and there's no way we could get 100 people, or you know that it's fewer than 100 people and you're saying it's around 100 people just for the sake of having this debate. So I think there's an excellent chance... Yes.
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's listed at 99, but the guy was like, we can fit 108.
Well, there you go.
There will be 100 people in that
okay.
theater.
So point number one is what's the actual capacity? There's already an event that competes with us on that night. I don't want to say what it is because it's like...
It's a fancy food event for
yeah,
jerks.
People are going to love that. There's a taping of a food event that night that a huge overlap of our listeners are going to be invited to. I'd rather go to that than to our debates. If I weren't involved in the debates, I'd definitely be at the food event.
It's probably going to take away 10 to 20 people. But I think we'll replace them. You know what will be great is we'll replace those people with true fans.
I have two more points. We're engaging in another meta debate, which people don't like. This very debate is going to drive people away from the live event because they're going to think that they're going to get more of this garbage at the live event.
Now,
and finally,
let me assure you,
one last point.
The topics at the live debate will not be meta.
You can't promise that because I might try to force a meta topic in. You
just
don't know.
To ruin it.
Just to, yes, exactly.
You're forgetting about the special guests. I think the special guests are going to draw some people in.
Maybe. We'll see. Finally, my last point is that it won't be very good. And if I were a listener, I would wait until this first live event happens. We might try to have more of them. I would wait, find out from someone who was bold enough to go to the show, see if it was actually good, and then go to a later one. There's no way we're getting on
it. It's cute, this bit of your hating, thinking everything you do is terrible, but the fact is you are a tremendously great live performer. You should have been a live performer for years and years and years. This is finally you've been brought to a form of performance that you excel at. People should come and just see you. If you were just doing a one-man show, they should come and see it.
It ended weird because it really went back and forth very quickly between flattering me and making me feel like I'd made the wrong career choice.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Keeping you on your toes.
I think you are a good live performer.
No one wants to talk about this during host chat. Healy, you had said something. Thank you, though.
Yeah.
You said that somehow.
I do.
I keep saying that we only need to say this once and people will go, and you keep saying, like, we need to talk about this as many times as we can.
Yes,
we're going to hit promote. And then you
where
said,
and how to get tickets again and again and again.
Okay. And you said, do you know about David Gergen?
Yeah.
And I said, save it for host chat.
Okay.
So regale us with the great story of David Gergen.
You know David Gergen? He's a famous White House consultant advisor to several presidents.
So famous.
When he was a young man, he was a speechwriter for Richard Nixon. And I was reading an interview with him, and he was saying that Nixon would make him put the same themes and ideas into speeches over and over and over again. And he was like, this is getting tiresome and stuff. And Nixon said to him, look, I know it's tiresome for you, but listen to me. When you get to the point where you are disgusted, you want to throw up because you've written the idea down so many times, it's been in so many speeches, that is the first time the American people have heard it. And that, I think, is for advertising a live event. If it gets tedious for listeners, I apologize, but to get this information out about our live event, how you get tickets, May 28th, Comedy Central Theater, you have to email greatdebate69@gmail.com. We're going to have to repeat it a lot of times.
Yeah,
and if that's a bummer for you,
I just think people are like, they either they like this, they're one of the 30 people who we know who want to go, and they'll be like, oh, I have to email, okay, I'll do that. Or they just like, there's no one who's going to be like, you know, they've talked. I wasn't.
No, I think there's a lot of people who they're listening. Oh, maybe I'll go to that. I got to check my calendar when I get home.
Healy,
they forget about it. The next week, they got to hear it again.
I don't want to debate during host chat. It's not what it's for, and I apologize.
What would you like to talk about during host chat?
I mean, my mind is blank right now.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have a file here on my phone.
Oh, call it up, buddy.
Here are the things written down on host chat. One is introduce ourselves. I've been thinking that we should, for
no,
people who
skip that.
Pass,
skip that.
Ron Jeremy handshake.
Oh, great story.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Dave. All right, let's hear it.
I was at a bar called The Rainbow on the Sunset Strip.
Famous bar. I mean, Guns N' Roses used to
hang
out there.
But yeah, that's the vibe. Sure. It's 80s rockers.
Of course you've never heard of it.
It's like 50-year-old people who rock out. And I was there with these guys who make a Swedish TV show. Actually, fellow podcasters. Philip and Frederick, and they're celebrities in Sweden.
Sure.
They've done a lot of TV. And Ron Jeremy walks by.
Mm.
And I'm pretty drunk. It's probably 2 a.m. And if you don't know, Ron Jeremy is a male porn star. Probably the only identifiable male porn star to most Americans. He's a disgusting little troll of a man.
They call him the hedgehog.
So my friend who had done a show with him several years ago was like, oh, I'll bring him over to the table. And he does. And I've had probably 7 beers, and Ron Jeremy's now coming over. And for some reason, I, like, made a real point of shaking his hand.
Okay.
Like, you know, like it was a distinguished historical figure or something. I would want to have say that I'd shaken his hand.
Okay.
And the next morning, I was like, why did I do... Of all the people in the world, he might have the most disgusting hand extant. It felt lizard-like and gross. Why did I make such a point of doing that?
Well, also, he's... You know, his hand has been in some of the most toxic places.
And every place.
Yeah.
It felt lizard-like and gross.
Yeah, but who knows how much of that was psychological.
Interesting.
Right? He wasn't committing to the handshake with the same, like, solidness that, like, a senator might or something.
Mm-mm.
A man at a job interview. He was sort of just...
He was probably also drunk at 2 a.m.
He definitely wasn't totally sober, I don't think.
Healy, you've met some pretty distinguished people in your time. Does anyone stand out as having a particularly great handshake?
That's a great question.
Is it?
I can't think of any notable handshakes.
So it wasn't. It's a great question.
I shook hands with George H.W. Bush once.
That's cool. How was his shake? What happened?
I don't remember the shake. He came to visit my high school, and I was standing next to Tim Boyle, who was wearing a tie.
Was he an alumnus of your school?
No, he just came. One of our trustees or something was a big donor. And after he was president, he came and visited. And I was standing next to Tim Boyle. We were probably 14 years old. And Tim Boyle was wearing a tie that had golf, like, iconography on it.
Well put.
And President Bush goes, yeah, you're a golfer? And Tim goes, kind of. He goes, you any good? And Tim goes, nope. And that was it.
That's great. Yeah. There you go.
And then you shook hands.
Then we shook hands, yeah.
Not memorable.
I've have thought itself. In my head of like whether I could chart back how far of a chain of consecutive handshakes I could get back into history. You know what I'm saying?
I see what you're
like
saying.
I shook hands with him, could I get back to say Charlemagne?
The six degrees of handshake.
You say confidently, like I could get back to Charlemagne.
Oh, I don't see why not. I mean, it's pretty easy to get over to like a queen. I mean, you go Bush 41 to Queen
Elizabeth.
But
in the dark ages, there was probably a massive gap in handshakes when nobody shook hands with anybody.
You need documentation of handshakes.
Let's get to the main
event. When did people start shaking hands? That's a question I have for some listener to write in and tell us.
Oh, wait, before we get to the main event, I do have one thing to say.
He just asked a great...
I know, but this is more important.
Jesus Christ.
Clearly.
We're way off... I hate this.
We owe a big apology, I think. We've been basking in the stardom of great debates. But the fact is, it couldn't be possible. This wouldn't exist without our producer, Mark Carosello.
That is totally true.
Oh, my God, that guy works his butt off for us.
And at this wedding we were at with some fans of Great Debates were talking to me, and they were scolding me, rightly so, for not giving him enough credit and props. He works really hard. He puts the episodes up every Wednesday night, usually around midnight. He's up late doing it. He also picks the song for every episode, which is probably the greatest thing about Great Debate.
The only good part, I might say.
He's brilliant, and he's our producer, and we owe him a lot of gratitude, and I feel bad that we haven't done it until now.
Way to go, Mark.
Yeah, he's the shit. You know, we had a natural segue into our main debate.
Oh, what was it?
Well, you know, we were talking about Bush 41. We're talking about leaders of the world.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about handshakes, origin of the handshake. Uh-huh. My understanding was, which could be apocryphal, that people started shaking hands to prove that they were unarmed.
Yeah, okay. Well, I forgot what the main event topic is.
Medina?
Oh, on that note, I'd like to introduce a topic for you guys to debate today.
You'll
if
see
you're
how
ready.
Loose the segue is.
Okay. Steve, take the pro on this if you would.
Okay.
It would have done us all good to have spent some time in the military.
Yeah, okay, I'll take the pro on this. I think it's fairly self-evident. I think...
You keep starting these debates by just going like, well, yes, it's a fact.
Well, look, what would it have done for us to be in the military? It would have given us some toughness, some sense of sacrifice on behalf of our country. It would have exposed us to people who are from different backgrounds. Instead, we all went to fancy college, graduated, moved to Los Angeles or New York, and stayed in more or less the same socioeconomic educational strata. And I think that's kind of a loss for all of us. You know, we were in a hurry to get our careers going and be writers and sound engineers and whatnot, play in bands. But I think we would have benefited from taking a few years and getting our asses kicked a little bit and giving something back to this great country that's given us so much. I don't know how you're going to argue against this.
Well, I mean, first of all, I give plenty back to this country that's given so much to us. I pay my taxes. I pay my fair share. I consider myself a socially conscious and politically active person, even though I refuse to vote in elections. Here's some other things we could have gotten from our stints in the military. Post-traumatic stress disorder, death, dismemberment, depression, drug dependence, injury.
Shouldn't we have shared in the risk that we ask other people to take on behalf of our country?
Well, this is an entirely different question. Yes, the question you're posing now should there be a draft, or is there a moral requirement to serving your country? That, to me, is totally different than it. What is it? Medina, can you read the wording again?
It would have done us all good to have spent some time in the military.
So to me, that's very different than we are as citizens should be required equally to serve time in the military. I'm not opposed to bringing the draft back. I think it would do us a lot of good in terms of, I think we might be a lot more careful about the wars that we chose to enter.
It would do us a lot of good if everybody was in the military.
As a nation,
why not us? Do you want to limit it to just us? What's going on?
Of course, because
you want to accept us.
Well, just the very notion of a draft is good for the collective, but bad for the individuals. I think that's been proven over and over again.
I don't know. Like, a lot of professional military people actually don't think the draft are kind of opposed to a draft. They like having a professional military.
Oh, I'm sure they prefer to have volunteers than people who are there against their own will. I understand that too.
Yeah.
I really feel like we're skirting the issue. What would it have been like?
Let's not skirt the issue.
What would it have been? What would it have been like if you and I and Medina, he's included in here because I read the word all in this, I believe.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I think all. We should include Mark.
Us all.
Great. Wait, is the word all in here?
Yes.
It all. Would have done us all some good
too.
Yeah.
Okay. Some time so this is all of us.
Yeah.
All great debaters.
Yeah.
All four of us.
First of all, I mean, I would have been at basic training. I am so physically incapable. I would have been left behind if I were in combat. Excuse me. I'd be easily the first to be shot or killed or maimed in some way. And if you had been shot and it was my job to save you, I'm sorry, man, but I would have freaked the fuck out and ran away. You would have died, and I would have been scarred for life.
I think you're jumping past the point of basic training is to train you. Like, you go in as this pathetic weakling, and ideally they're going to get you into physical shape and teach you what to do in a stressful situation. Second of all, like, the military is a massive operation. Like, for instance, a statistic I happen to have at my disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Of people who were in the armed services who were sent to Vietnam. Mm. So let's leave out all the people who were just never even left the country.
Let's do it.
3 out of 4 of those people never shot a gun at the enemy.
Right.
The military is like a massive
I understand.
Dragon, and the guys who are in combat are just the teeth. There's still the whole rest of the infrastructure, which is basically running a massive bureaucracy, which you would have been great at. You would have excelled at that.
It's a great statistic. And it would have been a great education for you. Bearing on
sure
this
it is, because you're putting yourself in the position of how many of them shot guns.
The question is how many of them believe that it was good for them to go to Vietnam. You think if we polled everyone, every single person who was sent to Vietnam or spent some time in the military, they would say, yeah, I'm glad I did it.
Don't you feel something missing from your life?
I guess, like, I'm really evading the issue.
Yes,
and I'm glad you brought that up. Okay, so the things that you talked about, experience, seeing different parts of the world, being exposed to other kinds of people, going through struggles, right, and all of that kind of thing, having to work hard, having to get up early.
Being challenged. Having the drill sergeant yell at you.
You don't need to join the military to experience any of those things. You can, if you want somebody to yell at you, sign up for fucking CrossFit.
Did you get that in band?
What?
Those experiences? Is that?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, Healy. I love your sarcastic tone, but the truth is that
sarcastic tone.
This is totally genuine. All of the bands I've been in, as dorky as they were, from fucking jazz band at Needham High to the Harvard marching band, they were all super lame, but they were also some of the best times I've ever had because it gave me a sense of camaraderie among people.
So don't among you my brethren. Why not take that to the highest level?
Because the military isn't the highest level of camaraderie. Fucking playing in the Strokes is better than being in the fucking military. That's a better sense of camaraderie.
That is what the debate should have been.
Well, if you want to start over again, I'd be happy to debate being in the Strokes is better than being in the military.
Should we do a mid-debate pivot?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think we have enough knowledge about either of the Strokes. I mean, they did kind of break up for a while. It seemed like it was pretty harrowing.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it was quite a challenge, yeah. Band of Brothers. It's not an accident that those words are like that.
Can we go back to me and basic training for
sure,
a second?
Yeah.
You said that the goal here is that, they're going to shape me into the kind of person who could fight in combat. You can't, I don't want to throw a pity party here, but you can't cure sleep apnea and juvenile arthritis and mild depression overnight. You can't teach me how to run faster. I'm still going to be a mess. My joints are going to ache. I need a crazy regimen of drugs just to stay on my feet. Am I embarrassed about this? Yeah, but I'm willing to put it out there to help myself win the debate. We all would not benefit from being in the military. It might have broken my body down to the point where I couldn't do anything.
Or maybe it would have helped you find inner resources that... You looked like you were going to jump.
Go ahead. Inner resources.
Yeah. To overcome some of your challenges.
Such as?
I don't know, not running that well. Look, you have some medical... Maybe you would have been not let into the military. I don't know how severe your medical problems are.
They're pretty intense. I mean, I don't think... I think for many reasons, there would have been no reason for me. I would have been whatever it is, A4F. 4F, yeah. There's also... But here's another issue.
Yes.
There's a moral issue.
Yeah, okay.
is it a good thing? You know, everybody says that we don't, a lot of people don't support the wars, but they support our troops.
Right.
You don't have to support our troops. People, if we, the draft is over. If we had spent time in the military in our lifetime, we would, that means we would have been making a choice to enter the military, which in a way is a tacit support of the wars that, I mean, depending on when hypothetically we had joined the military
right.
and spent time in it, that is tacit support of the things that we have done in our lifetime. Basically, we're talking about Desert Storm or the more recent invasion in Iraq or Afghanistan. I don't know how you feel about those, I'm not on board.
I think this is your strongest argument. That like,
thank you so much.
We didn't want to choose to get involved in that
That's
nonsense.
Right.
We thought it was ridiculous.
That's right.
But I do think that the moral and physical development and shared sense of sacrifice that we would have gotten from the military would have outweighed the
all things that you could get.
The fact
from
is,
you could get those from playing racquetball.
Let's play
racquetball, right. And if you want, we'll dress up in fatigues.
Okay, military racquetball club starting next week.
I'm in. Let's go to closing arguments.
I mean, I think we sort of closed it out, right?
All right. Do you want to just keep talking?
Yeah.
What's on your mind, man?
I don't know. I mean, I'm psyched about the live event.
Did you ever come...
Thursday, May 28th at the Comedy Central Theater.
What's the close... Yeah, shut up. What's the closest that any of us ever came to joining the military?
When I was in high school, I did vaguely look at, like, whether I should go to the Naval Academy. I thought...
Really?
I did, like, really want to go to sea, and I couldn't figure out a way of going to sea, but I was like...
You couldn't?
Well, I did, eventually. I was, you know, sailing around on that cargo ship.
I mean... There's also, you know, there's like dozens of other ways to go to sea.
Not really. It's not that easy. Like to have a career at sea for years.
Oh, you wanted to work on the water.
Yeah, to be like a guy at
sea. A seaman.
A seaman, yeah.
Oh, and not a landlubber.
Yeah, there's not that many American like maritime guys.
Yeah, well, that's true.
But anyway, it wasn't for me.
A friend of mine was brought up in this military family and was very smart and did very well in school and really wanted to go to Yale. He got into Yale. He was, you know, going for the Ivy League route, and his family shamed him into going to West Point. So, of course, he excelled there because he was very smart and became a pilot in the Air Force. And then he got stationed in Italy, in Trieste. So he flew fighter jets and drank... espressos and learned about Italian wines for a couple years.
Man.
Then he got moved to France and lived in the countryside of Provence.
Jesus.
And was a liaison with the French officers, which meant that he drank coffees all day and learned about French wines. And he pretty much had the best life of anyone that I
that's
know.
That's amazing.
As an officer stationed in Europe in the U.S. military.
And that's the best case scenario for sure, right?
Isn't it true that then he was promoted to become the first ever actual federal booty inspector?
What's become of this guy now?
I don't know, I lost touch with him, but I assume that he's living the good life somewhere.
Flying
with
jets.
With excellent posture and physically fit.
There's a dude named James Salter, a writer, who wrote a book called Burning the Days, which is, you know, memoir. And he went to West Point, he was a fighter pilot in Korea, and then he sort of like became a like... you know, he was friends with Hunter S. Thompson, and he was traveling around Italy and doing that kind of stuff after having been a Korean War fighter pilot.
I think it could be a good life.
Sure, yeah.
Was that it? Was that the end of that story about James?
I'm just, if you want to read a book about a guy who's living Medina's life.
I thought there was
the friend of the life of Medina's friend.
No, and Healy, everyone loves your stories about David Gergen and James Salter. What song do you think Mark's going to choose for this one?
I don't think he's going to disappoint us.
Take it away, bud. Surprise us.
Okay, guys. We'll see you on May 28th at the Comedy Central Theater here in Los Angeles. Write to us at greatdebates69@gmail.com for tickets. We're really looking forward to seeing you all there. Bye bye. Hey, I ain't checking for him. Better be straight if you're looking at me. I need a soldier. And it's here to stand up for me. Known to carry big things if you know what I mean. If his status ain't hood, I ain't checking for him. Better be straight if you're looking at me. I need a soldier. And it's here to stand up for me. Gotta know to get dough. And he better be straight. I know some soldiers in here. Where they at? Where they at? They wanna. I know some soldiers in here. Where they at? Don't mind taking for me. Where they at? I know some soldiers in here. Where they at? They wanna spend that on me. Where they at? I know some soldiers in here. Where they at? Don't mind putting that on me. Where they at? Hey, see,
cash, money is an army. I'm walking with purple hearts on me. You're talking to the sergeant, body marked up like the sub.